So I want to preach on having confidence. Verse number 3, David ends with a statement, "In this will I be confident." Christians tend to lack confidence in God. I can be accused of that as just as anybody else. We lack a confidence in God. We put Him in a box. We lock God into boundaries and choose not to let Him reign free. Tonight I would like to encourage you and show you that our Lord can do all things. We're going to look through the Bible and find what is said about having our confidence in Him. What we should have our confidence in. What we can put our confidence in that we know the Lord will help us through. So Psalms, here in Psalms 27, David, as we know in the Bible, he's the greatest warrior to have ever lived. He was feared among men. Saul, they thought he was the greatest warrior, but he feared David because he was killing much more men than he had. Right here, David, the greatest warrior to have ever lived, is singing about what makes him a great warrior. Verse number 1 says, "The Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear?" First, I want to see that there's a confidence in battle. Verse number 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." In other words, God gives me understanding and He guides me. He's my help in my time of need. He's the reason for which I am alive. When He has done all that for me, why should I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. It says right here, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" He's the reason why I can fight. Why should I be afraid to face my enemies? He gave me the strength to fight them. Why should I be afraid to fight them? Who could go up against the Lord and beat Him? Verse number 2 says, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." Enemies have come up against me, David's saying, and every time, the Lord's protected me. Verse number 3, it says, "Even when I'm surrounded." So right here, he says, "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear." Even when I'm surrounded, there's no need for me to even worry. This world will often surround you. This world wants to suffocate you. It wants to snuff out your light. It wants to snuff out your every existence. Those who preach the truth are a target, but God will protect. "Though wars should rise against me, in this will I be confident." In verse number 4, or verse number 3, "In this will I be confident." We're in a war every single day of our lives when we serve God. No matter the strength of our enemies, He will always take care of His children. And guess what? I got news about this war. I can turn to the end of this old book, and it's already been written who wins the war. Our enemy is fighting a war that they already know they're going to lose. No matter how desperate and bleak that this world appears, no matter the strength and fervency of our enemies, no matter the heartaches we must endure, we can have confidence that our Lord will take care of you and I. Our battle is the Almighty, and no one can destroy us. Now we go down to verse number 4, and David's saying, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple." David is seeking exactly what we should all seek for ourselves. He wants to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He wants to abide in Him. He desires to be close to God. We should have that very same desire. We should want a deep relationship with God. We should want to please Him and make ourselves close. When we dwell within the Lord, we can have a confidence that we will be shaken. We can be confident that we cannot be taken down. So secondly, I see that we can have a confidence in our barracks. Matthew chapter number 7. Turn over there real quick. Matthew 7, verse number 24. I'm sure y'all know this scripture, verse number 24 and number 25. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. That rock he's talking about right there is Jesus. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Right here we're seeing God saying, Jesus himself is saying, build yourself on me, put your trust in me, and you're not going to fall. I'll keep you. Jesus is showing that those who place their trust in him, those who dwell in him, will not fall. Any storm of this life that we could face, any storm that comes up against you, you'll be kept. We're just going to keep you. You're going to remain steadfast. Christ will remain steadfast. Now back in chapter 27 of Psalms, it says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. When trouble arises, he will hide you close to him, and you will be set where you cannot be moved. Verse number 6, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. He will not set me in a place where mine enemies cannot. He's going to set me in a place where my enemies can't even get to me. He's going to hide me. He's going to get me safe. He's going to plant me on that rock. So right now you may feel surrounded now, but God is protecting. And I can assure you one day your enemies will be round about you as you sit beside our Lord Jesus Christ. Now as well as then, just like David in verse number 6, we should praise God and glorify him. Now into verse number 7, it says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. The next thing I see is that we can be confident in our beacon. Our Lord hears every prayer we pray and has an answer for every single one of them. Turn over to James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5, verse number 13, says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is the most important tool for our use. Often we lay prayer aside and just forget about it. We must pray. Matthew 21, verses number 21 and 22, Jesus is saying that prayer can move mountains. We see right here that prayer can save souls. It can influence people. It can work miracles. It can help the sick and the injured. And so much more. So why do we toss that, our greatest tool, aside? Why do we not pray? Lord's given this way of communication that we can call out to Him and He'll give us an answer. He'll help. Help comes through genuine prayer. When you bear your heart out and cast your burdens on God, that's when you're going to find answers. David is praying his desires right here. Desires that every one of us would benefit by if we had them. Go back to Psalms 27, we'll read verse number 9. It says, "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Verse number 9, "Hide not thy face from me. Lord, show yourself to me. Make yourself real in my life. Put not the servant away in anger. Lord, I want you to be forefront in my life. Please use me instead of putting me away, for I know I'm a worm. I know I failed. Use me, Lord. Let me be your servant. Let me be your do your work. You have helped me, you have saved me, and you have loved me. Now let me do your work. I owe my life to you, so let me repay you as much as I can." We never pay God, but He wants to use your life as that repayment. "Leave me not, neither forsake me. Lord, to do your will, I need you to stand with me." Verse number 10, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Even when everyone in my life has gone away, help me hold fast to you, Lord." Verse number 11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lord, instruct me in how I ought to live life. I give my life over to you to be made perfect. Lead me in a plain path. Lord, instruct me and guide me. Lead me in thy way so that I may serve you. Show me your will." Verse number 12, "Deliver me not over the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Deliver me not unto the will of mine enemies. Lord, help me not to fall into temptation. Deliver me from the temptations of this world. Deliver me from the lies of those who despise what I stand for." Verse number 14. "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say of the Lord." So here's an area I find that a lot of people, a lot of Christians, fail with prayer. Wait. Especially nowadays, and there ain't no one in this world that wants to wait on anything. The world has developed technology and everything they can to make anything convenient. And it's even given Christians a false sense of sensibility toward Christ that we think He should answer us right when we tell Him something that we need. Lord says, we got to wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Prayer takes waiting. God may not give you an answer about something you prayed for the very next day. Many Christians can tell you that they prayed for years upon years before they received an answer. You could ask them, "Was all those prayers worth it?" What are you going to hear back? "Oh, definitely. Most definitely." Waiting upon the Lord is a test of faith. And the more you continue in that faith, then the more blessed you will be. Be of courage as you wait. The Lord's working. Our timing is not His timing, but His timing is perfect timing. We cannot comprehend why or how, but we know who, and that should explain everything. You don't need to know everything, you just need to know God. You can see that in Mark 10, verse number 27. I'll just read that real quick. Mark 10:27 says, "And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." So you don't need to know everything, you just need to know God. If you would turn over to 1 Peter 1, I'll see. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Verse number 17 says, "And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained for the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the father of grass, flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So the next two things that I see that we can be confident in verse number 23, being born again. We can be confident in our birth. We can be confident in our salvation. It says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, but by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's always going to remain. You can't lose your salvation. I'm tired of that doctrine. Can't lose your salvation. It's not right. Lord, you get saved, that's going to abide forever. Your salvation is going to keep you. Guess what? This right here pulls out everything that we just talked about before. Why do we have that confidence? Because we have a confident birth. Why can we have a confident birth? Next thing we see, the fifth point, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which I preach by the gospel was preached unto you. So we can be confident in our Bible. Turn over to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse number 1. It says, "Comfort ye. Comfort ye my people, saith your God." This can be a comfort to us. "Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert of a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough plains plain, rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever." We can be confident in our Bible. I also look over at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We can see if we're confident in God, we can be confident in our Bible. We see in 2 Timothy 3 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we see 2 Timothy 3 says, yes, you're going to have all these evil men. Yes, you're going to be got all this bad stuff, but guess what we can be confident in? The Lord gave us this word. We can be, if we're confident in Him, we can be confident in our Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. He gave us this book so that we can be confident in our lives, so that we can be confident in Him. Lastly, I want to see that we're confident in our bridegroom. Turn over to chapter 22 of Revelations. I said earlier, I already mentioned that we can read at the end of this book and see that God wins, and we can have a confidence in that. So how about we look at it and have a little bit of confidence in that? Revelations 22, verse number 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of it, God, and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of an angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am a fellow servant of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of the book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to do the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that saith, here say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Lord's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So we can even be confident that he's the beginning, but he's also our end. He's the bridegroom. He's what we're heading towards. Right here it says, the bride says, come. We're the bride. We have confidence in him, and we need to keep spreading the gospel, saying, come. All of this life is over. We're going to be in heaven. No more pain, no more tears, no more sickness, no more troubles of this life. It'll just be us who trusted Christ, all of our families and friends who have trusted him, all of us getting to praise our Lord and Savior, our bridegroom. He who has kept us in this life, loved and protected us, and then has become our husbandman. He prepared us each a mansion. He has a place set aside. He has a seat right beside him for us. We can be fully confident in that. But tonight, you might be sitting here and you don't have confidence. You might not have confidence in any of this. You might not have salvation. Right now, if you don't have confidence, and you're asking questions within yourself, and you're convicted right now, the Lord's saying, come. Us as the bride is saying, come. Come meet the bridegroom. Please.